Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves at the very bottom of Daf Chaf Vav Amud Aleph, that's 26a, and we are down at the second line from the bottom, the very last word. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. So on this daf, we're primarily dealing with issues related to the ritual of kriya, of tearing one's clothing when they hear of one's death. And what we're focusing on in this daf is the question of whether or not one can repair the garment. So we're going to continue to have that conversation now. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, V'kulan rasha'in, everyone is permitted, l'sholilan ulemolilan ulelokhtan v'la'asotan kemin sulamot avalo la'achotan. Here is what you're permitted to do, and the assumption we're making here is that we're not talking about during Shiva, but certainly after Shiva for other relatives, and after Shloshim for one's mother and father. So you are allowed to do certain kinds of repairs, and here are the repairs. Not everyone agrees exactly about what these are. L'sholilan means to repair with wide stitches, that's the way Rashi describes it, or loose stitches. That is, you stitch it up, but in a way that it is clearly only a temporary stitching. In the Pnei Baruch, he says that using a safety pin is equivalent to this. Ule molilan. Molilan means, in one place they translated it as to hem it. Another way to say it is that they're imprecise stitches, not necessarily loose, but they could be tighter stitches, but they're not neat stitches. Liloktan means to gather up the fabric around the rip and pin it up so that it's not a hole, but it's bunched up together. And lasotan kamin sulamot means to do a ladder stitch. A ladder stitch could be similar to loose stitching, but what it really means is that you stitch it across horizontally, and then there's a gap, and then you stitch it across horizontally, and then there's a gap, so it looks kind of like a ladder in between the tear. And then, of course, the last one is la'achotan, which is to fix it up in a more permanent way, which is to really stitch it up so that the hem is closed. But even when you stitch it up so the hem is closed, it still obviously appears as a repaired garment. So Amar Rav Chista says, and now we turn the page to Chaf Vav Amud Bet, Uve'ichui Alexandri. Rav Chista here is making a kula. He's actually being lenient here, and he's saying there is a special kind of stitching, which is called Ichui Alexandri, Alexandrian stitching. And Alexandrian stitching is a higher level of worksmanship and quality. Either it means, there are different interpretations. What it means, some people mean that you stitch it from the other side of the garment so that the edges of the tear are very closely drawn together and you can't see the stitches really. The stitches are really on the reverse side. So it appears almost as if it is completely repaired. It looks almost like a new garment. Or else, possibly, some people say that you actually bring in some new material and stitch new threads into it so that it appears as if it is completely repaired. So that is the concept here, is that when you do ichui, the garment is considered to be a whole garment. Again, it's not a torn garment. And Rav Chista is being lenient here because what he's saying is that once you can repair the garment with ichui, he's saying that the other way around. If you can't do ichui, what he's saying you can't do is Alexandrian ichui. Perhaps you can do regular ichui, that still appears, in which you can still see the stitching, you just can't do Alexandrian ichui. That's the leniency. And Rav Chista, however, is going to turn into a chumrah when we flip it to the other side. Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught, Hakorea mitoch hashalal, if one wants to tear their garment for the loss of another relative, but the garment is shalul, that is, it is widely stitched, mitoch hamelal, or it's hemmed up, hemmed loosely, mitoch haleket, or it's gathered up and stuck together, mitoch hasulamot, it's ladder stitched. Any of them, if you want to come to tear kriya on them, lo yatza, you cannot fulfill kriya because these stitchings do not repair the garment, and the garment is considered to be still torn. However, mitocha ichwi, but if it was completely repaired, yatza, then you can tear kriya on it again, and it counts as a new kriya. Amar of chista, now Rav chista is going to give a chumrah, uvi ichwi alexandri. It only counts as a new kriya if you did an Alexandrian stitching. Then it's considered to be a fully new garment, and you can re-tear it, but if you just did regular ichwi, it would appear as if you would not be able to. Okay, now we have a number of other machlokot about repairing of garments. Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught, Rashai lehofcho lemata v'la'achoto. It is permitted to take a garment in which you tore it on the upper part of the garment, which is where you're supposed to tear it, in the most visible place, and then you flip it. And this kind of garment, our clothing doesn't work this way, but if it was a less fitting garment, you could flip it over so that the tear is on the bottom. And then once the tear is on the bottom, it's not really in its place anymore. And then you would, at a certain point after your mourning period is over, would be able to fix it up, even though you wouldn't be able to if it remained on the top. So this is a significant leniency, according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar oser la'achoto. However, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that it is forbidden to do this, even if you flip it over. And then he adds an additional stringency, uchashem sha mocher asur la'achoto, just as one who owns the garment, who is going to sell it, is forbidden to repair it if he tore it for one of his, you know, for his mourning. Kach halokeach asur la'achoto, so too the purchaser is forbidden to repair it. Ulafikach mocher tzarich lehodi olulokeach, and therefore the seller has to tell the lokeach, the buyer, he has to tell the buyer, this garment was torn, when I was mourning for my mother, and therefore it is forbidden for it to ever be repaired. Now, obviously, then the garment will be cheaper, but now the lokeach understands that even though he's getting a torn garment, he's getting a torn garment that cannot be repaired. And the other thing that we learn from this is that the din of kriya is in the beged, not just in the person. It's not just about the mourner himself who has to wear a torn garment. It's that you have to create a torn garment itself that has to remain torn, even if the ownership switches. So Tosfot would ask the question, what if you sell it to a non-Jew? The non-Jew would not necessarily be bound by the same halachot as a Jew, and how then, you know, basically you're setting up a situation where the only way you could get a good deal on your garment now is to sell it to a non-Jew. And so the Shulchan Aruch actually in Siman Shin Mem, he says that it is forbidden for a mourner to sell such a piece of clothing to a non-Jew if he knows that he will stitch it up. It's not on the non-Jew, but it is on the seller. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, next halacha, Tchilat Kriya Tefach. When you tear your garment, you tear it a tefach, which is four hands' breadths. And we learned this from the pasuk related to David HaMelech. When David heard that Shaul and Yonatan had passed away, it says in the pasuk that he grabbed a hold of his garment and tore it. So we define the minimum shiur, the minimum amount of an achizav, grabbing with a hand, is all four fingers. That's a hand's breadth, a tefach. So we say that you have to tear a tefach. That is the shiur. However, v'tosefet, if you are coming to add on to that tear, so it is possible to make a tear for one relative and then to extend that tear as a kriya for another relative. That's what we're going to discuss now. Tosefet, the additional tear, shalosh etzba'ot, would only be three fingers. So the original tear is four fingers, but the extension only has to be three fingers. That's the first opinion, Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, Tchilat kriya shalosh etzbot. He goes against that drasha that we said before and says that the first initial tear only has to be three fingers breadth. V'tosefet kol shehu. And the additional tear, the extension, only has to be a minimum amount, just a little bit. Now, the difference between four fingers and three fingers is a small amount. I mean, it's not so small. It's 25%. But the basic idea is that the full hand's breadth, four fingers, is a firm grasp. And grabbing with three fingers is kind of like a lighter touch. Okay, Amar Ula. So Ula says, halacha k'Rabbi Meir b'kriya. The halacha is like Rabbi Meir in the initial tear, that is, it has to be a tefach. The halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda b'tosefet. And the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda in the extension, that is, the extension only has to be a minimal extension of kol shehu, just a tiny amount. Tanya Nami Hachi, we have a similar braita that supports the position of Ula. Rabbi Yossi Omer, tchilat kriya tefach v'tosefet kol shehu. In other words, we have an additional approbation that the halacha is that the a hybrid between the two of them. Ula creates a majority in each case. That the initial tear has to be a tefach, 4 hands breadths, and the extension only has to be kol shehu, any amount at all. Okay, next halacha. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught. Amrulo meit aviv vikara. If a person heard, chas v'shalom, that his father passed away and he tore his beged, meit bino, and then he heard that his son had passed away subsequently, v'hosif, and so he added on to the tear that he made for his father, tachton mitacheh, the lower part of the tear may be repaired after 30 days, because once 30 days are over, you can repair a garment for one's child who passed away. Elyon eino mitacheh, but the top part of the tear which he made for his father may not be repaired, because you may never repair clothing that you tore for a parent. So the concept here is that even though there's only one tear, or it was torn and then extended, you can divide up between the two of them. The part that was for the son is allowed to be repaired, and the part for the parent is not allowed to be repaired. Meit beno, if we flip the script, if his son died vikara and he tore, meit avi v'hosif, and then his father passed away and he added on to the tear, el yom mitache, the top part can be repaired because that was for his son, tachton eino mitache, the lower part may not be repaired. Okay. And then he adds on one other case. So that was the first case where you have a tear that was extended at related to repairing it. The second case goes like this. Meit aviv, meit imo, meit achiv, meita achoto. If his father and his mother and his brother and his sister died. And here what we mean is, and it gives an extreme case, but if more than one person died in your family and you hear about it, you get the besurah at the same time. Korea kera echad lekulan. You tear once for all your family members that passed away. So, for instance, if you were to hear, if you got a telegram, unfortunately, from the Holocaust that a number of members of your family had passed away in a concentration camp, at the time that you heard, assuming that it's still within 30 days, you would tear kriya for all of them. You would tear once for all of them. However, that's the Tanakhama's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera Omer, Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera disagrees. Al kulan kera echad. It's true that for all the other relatives, you would only tear once, even if there were a number of them that had passed away. But al avi v'imo kera echad. For his father and his mother, he tears a second one. Lefi she'ein mosifin al kera avi v'imo. Because you are not permitted to add on to the tear for a mother and father. Now, he's disagreeing here with the Tanakhama, who presented a case where you could tear for your mother and father, and then later on you could tear for your son. The question is whether or not those are exactly the same cases or not. We'll come back to it. My Taima, what's the reason? Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, lefi she'einan b'tosefet. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says you may not add on to the tear for a mother and a father because it is not possible to add on to them. They are not in the category of Tosefet. Now, I think there are two possible ways of reading this. The way Tosfot reads it, he says that because of the nature of tearing for a mother and father, you're supposed to tear until Ad Shemegala et Libo. You're supposed to expose your heart. So you've already torn the full amount of the Kriya for your mother and father, so there's really no room for extension. You've done the full amount of Kriya already. Now you have to go... You have to go start a new tear. Another way of looking at it, less legal way of looking at it, is that you can always have more siblings or more children. The only family relationship that can never be increased is mother and father. They are the same numbers always, so they are irreplaceable, and for that reason, they deserve their own kriya. Of course, our custom, and this is mentioned in the Gemara earlier, is that we tear on different sides. So we tear on the right side for all the other relatives, and we tear on the left side for our mother and father. So in any case, based on the prevailing custom, you would have to make separate rents in your garment because they would be on opposite sides. Amar Shmuel says, Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira disagrees with the Tanakhama in two regards, just to reiterate. One is that you cannot add on to a tear for a parent. The tear for a parent is significant all by itself and cannot be added to. And number two is that you would tear a separate kriya for your parents. If you heard simultaneously that a parent and another relative had died, you would tear once for your parents and once for the other person. Those are the two disagreements that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira has with the Tanakhama. So Gemara asks, last skinny line, Umi Amar Shmuel Hachi. Who says that Shmuel thinks that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira? Did it the Hamar Shmuel? Doesn't Shmuel say halacha kedivrei hamekil ba'avel, that the law is always like the more lenient opinion in avilut? In which case, we should go with the more lenient opinion, which is that you only have to tear once, and that you can add on to a tear for a mother and father, as opposed to being stringent. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira is stringent in both cases. Why would Shmuel agree with him? So the answer the Gemara gives, which we've mentioned before, is avelut l'chud, kriya l'chud. Avelut is distinct, and tearing kriya is distinct. In other words, there are two different areas of halacha. The laws of kriya are not really part of the laws of avelut. When we talk about the laws of avelut, we're really only talking about what a mourner has to do after burial. And kriya is done before burial, or in most cases, it's supposed to be done before burial, and so it has its own laws. And in those, in the case of kriya, the principle of Shmuel that we follow the lenient opinion does not apply because the laws of kriya have their own internal logic. Okay, end of the first wide line. We're just going to go a few more lines. Ad hechan korea, how far do you have to tear? Now, what we're talking about here is not in the case of a simple tear, meaning in a simple tear, we know what the rule is. The rule is a tefach. And we know that for a mother and father, it's longer. The question is, if you're extending the tear, if you tore once, let's say, for your brother, and then you're going to be mosif on that tear for the death of a son, chas v'shalom, how far can you continue to tear until you have maxed out the tear? So there is a machloket about this. The first opinion says, ad tiburo, until his navel. V'yesh omrim, and there are some who say, ad libo, until his heart, which is a little higher up. But when you reach that point, either his navel or his heart, then you have to start a new tear, as we'll see in a second. So it could be that if we paskin that for a mother and father, you tear ad shemagale et libo, until your heart, but we paskin that it's permitted to tear until tiburo, until his navel, then you could make an argument that even for a mother and a father, it would be possible to extend the tear. But if the two things go together, that is the reason why we say you should tear for a mother and father until you expose your heart, is because that's the maximum amount of tearing that is necessary, then you wouldn't be able to make that argument. I was going to say one other thing about that. Yes, the point of the maximum amount of tearing is that when you've torn the majority of the garment, it will no longer be, it's considered to be completely torn. And no additional tearing really constitutes an act of tearing because the garment is considered as if it's torn already. Afal pi she'ein raya ledavar, continues the Gemara, even though there is no proof of the matter, zecher ledavar, there is a hint to the matter in the prophet in Yoel chapter bet, shenemar v'kir'u levavchem v'al bigdechem, tear your hearts, not your clothes. The zecher here is that it mentions related to tearing one's heart. So the zecher is that you should tear until you expose one's heart. Of course, what Yoel was trying to say is that you should experience the mourning internally in your heart, and that simply doing the external action of tearing one's clothes, especially if it doesn't mean anything, is an external observance but not an internal observance. And Yoel was telling people you have to feel it. So he really wasn't talking about Kriya at all. But that's why it's a zecher ladavar, that we connect the idea of exposing one's heart to tearing one's clothes, because the two things should go together. So what happens if higia letiburo, if we arrive at your navel, at you've torn all the way down to your navel, or presumably, according to the other opinion, until one's heart, marchik shalosh etzba'ot, you make a distance of three fingers over laterally, vikorea, and you can start another tear. In other words, even though the garment is torn, on one side, if you go three etzba'ot over, you can tear another gash in the clothing, and that still counts. Nitmale milfanav, if you have torn all the way laterally across your shirt, and you don't have any more room to tear, machziro la'achorav, then you can flip the shirt around so that the tears are all in the back, and then you can tear again in the front, now that it's in what was the back has now become the front. Nitmale milmala, and then if you've torn all the way around your shirt, both the front and the back, hofchol milamata, you can flip it over so that so that all the tears are on the bottom, and then you can start to tear again at the top. Vehakorea milamata, but if you tear from the bottom without flipping it over, uminatzdadin, or if you tear from the side of the shirt and not from the top, lo yatza, you are not yotze, ela shekohen gadol porei milamata, even though the high priest does tear from the bottom. But the whole reason that the high priest tears from the bottom is that the high priest is not allowed to mourn for his relatives. He's not allowed to tear kriya. So we allow him, if he wants to tear from the bottom. And since it's torn from the bottom, you can clearly see that he's not tearing a regular kriya. But since tearing from the bottom is not a regular kriya, if it makes him feel better, or if it's a way in which he can express his grief, then he can at least tear from the bottom. But a person who has to follow the halacha will not tear from the bottom. Now, I don't know if we're talking here l'chatrila or b'dieved. It seems to me that this situation of tearing laterally and then tearing and then flipping it over and tearing from the back, or flipping it over and tearing, you know, putting the tears on the bottom so you can tear again on the top, perhaps this only applies to a person who has only one piece of clothing, and so he really has no choice. This is the only way he can fulfill kriya. However, if a person has more than one piece of clothing, if they have a piece of torn clothing, presumably they should take it off and put something else on in order to tear kriya. But if they heard it, if they heard the news when they were wearing a piece of clothing that was already torn, it's not required for them to change their clothes. So perhaps this could refer to a situation in which someone is wearing a piece of torn clothing when they hear the news, and so they have no choice because they're wearing it already. We are lenient, generally speaking, when we tear kriya at a funeral, to allow a person to change out of an especially nice piece of clothing. Let's say you were wearing your tux shirt and you're going to tear kriya. Our general rule is that you can change into another shirt. Not a shirt that's garbage, but a shirt that's less nice or less expensive. We do allow people, mourners, to change into such a shirt in order to tear kriya. And one last note, when we spoke at the beginning of this recording about Ihui Alexandri, the Alexandrian stitch, and how that makes the clothing new again, there, when we talk about it, what we're saying is that if you tore a garment and then you fixed it up with an Ihui Alexandri, then the garment is considered to be new. So then if you experience another loss of a relative, you can tear the clothing along the stitch of the Alexandrian, along the Alexandrian stitch. You don't have to tear it in another place or extend it, which is the other halacha we were talking about, is extending a tear or starting a new tear three etzba'ot over. If it was fully stitched up in an Alexandrian style, then a new kriya along the stitching counts as a kriya as well. We'll stop there, five lines down in the wide lines. Have a wonderful day.